everybody. I'm Stephanie Beaumont, and this is CNB Seen and Heard. Rolling through our eighth season of celebrating the four Atlantic provinces here on Cove FM, where with each broadcast, I want to bring you just a little bit closer to some of the amazing personalities that make up this corner of the planet. They may be native to Nova Scotia or New Brunswick, Prince Edward Island or Newfoundland and Labrador, or they may be kindred spirits who simply adore living and working in Atlantic Canada. The only requirement here is that you're willing to raise the fun flag and wave it in salute of Canada's awesome East Coast. And our chats will be just that. Very conversational, not entirely sensible, and with any luck, totally enjoyable. Now, there's an old adage that says, when you need something done, ask a busy person. And listen, I know today's guest is always busy doing something wonderfully creative, but since I really wanted to chat about this season's entertaining lineup of productions at the Grafton Street Dinner Theater, I could think of no one better than the Fantastic Force at the helm of all that hilarity. So yes, I'm interrupting her busy schedule so we can talk about all the shows and so much more, including what it takes to cast each musical and the truly special set of skills each performer needs to bring to the table. Like, literally. We'll also talk about the experience each guest can expect, from the immersive 3 hours of engaging entertainment, to the fantastic food, to the truly incredible sense of community. Plus, we'll play a freshly installed edition of First Things First, launch a brand new game called The Very Last Thing, and even spin some of the amazing music from this season's Grafton Street Dinner Theater lineup. So with all that ahead, we best get to it. Here's my phone call conversation with the artistic director herself, the one and only Kelly Edwards. It's always the sweetest time when I get to chat with this lady. She's incredibly talented and perfectly suited to be the artistic director behind the steady stream of delicious performances at Halifax's legendary Grafton Street Dinner Theatre. She's the one and only Kelly Edwards. How are you now?
Oh my God, I'm great after that intro.
Well, I'll tell ya, I've had a lot of coffee, but only because I took a look at your lineup for this year, and it's become a little bit of an annual tradition here now on CNB Seen and Heard, but I love getting the inside scoop from you. Are you excited?
I'm excited.
There's a lot on the go, and I want to start this show, you know, because you've been on my show so much, you're one of the people that I'm gonna put you in the good sport category, Kelly Edwards.
God love ya.
Well, because you're always willing to play my crazy games. So, you know, you've played The First Word and we've played First Things First. So I've got First Things First, the 2026 edition. You're the very first person I'm rolling this out on. Are you ready?
Oh my God, I'm the pressure.
Well, there's no wrong answer. That's the best part of it. Okay. Kelly Edwards, First Things First, 2026 edition. First question. The first time you were on stage.
Professionally or just in general?
Well, whichever. I mean, it would be interesting to know sort of your origin story. So maybe go way back.
Well, I just always was involved with drama in school. So from junior high on, you know, through the school years, through university years.
What was the production? Can you remember?
Yeah, I remember doing Shakespeare in university.
Whoa.
I remember doing something when I was in Brownies.
Okay.
I think I was on a toadstool.
Aww. I was a canary, so I feel you.
Yeah, it's big, but it's in the history.
And can you remember your first show at the Grafton Street Dinner Theater?
I can. It was called the Cheatin' Heart Cafe, and it was in the 90s.
Okay, and a good cast, I bet.
It was a great cast. Actually, it was a lifetime friendship that I formed with many people there that still holds today.
Oh, that's so great. Okay, our second question in First Things First, the 2026 edition with Kelly Edwards, your first home of your own.
My first home of my own.
That you were like, this is my place.
This is my place was in Sydney. I was going to University of Cape Breton there and was out on my own.
Can you remember how great the rent was?
It's
just
so cheap.
Right?
I could cry when I think about it.
Oh,
and my first place speaking of, like in Halifax, when I moved to the city just after that,
yeah,
I lived literally a block behind where I live now. And when I think of the rent that I paid there, I could cry.
Yeah.
It was so, so cheap and such a great place.
There you go. All right. Kelly Edwards, our third question in First Things First, the 2026 edition. Your first trip overseas. I know you're quite a traveler.
I believe it. I have traveled extensively, but mostly by driving. I'm a really, really bad flyer. So a couple of years ago, I've had a trip that I've wanted to take always. It was a bucket list trip.
Yes.
And it was to my family's heritage home of Wales.
Ooh.
And I had planned it a couple of times and I backed out because I was just so terrified of flying.
Wow.
And I have flown, but
right,
mostly like to the States, to the Caribbean or whatever. So
yeah,
literally 2 years ago, I took my first flight overseas and I went to Wales and I loved it so much. And I went back the next year again and I'd love to go back a million times.
Are you over your fear then?
I'm not over my fear. I'm still a bit of a mess, but I'll tell you in a sort of serious note,
yes,
I have a friend who passed away, Barbara, and she loved travel.
Yes.
And before she died, she said to me, "You need to promise me you will take that trip."
There
and
you
I was
go.
Like, oh, no, no. And I had to do it for Barb, and I'm so happy that I did.
Oh, that's so great. Well, there you have it. And it's not a short journey, right? When you go, like, you're like in the air for 5 hours, is that right? No.
Yeah, so we fly into London and then take the train into Wales, but it's now there are direct flights into Wales as well, but it's about 5-6 hours.
So great.
Which is a lot for me.
Yeah, no doubt. But it's so great that you got to get home. And I say home, but you felt like you were home, did you?
I really did, yeah. And in fact, the second year I went with my brother and we took some of my dad's ashes over and left them in the homeland.
Wow, that's so great. All right, very good. We're into our last question now. First things first, the 2026 edition with Kelly Edwards. I know so much of the productions at the Grafton Street Dinner Theater revolve around music. So Kelly Edwards, your very first concert you ever attended.
I'm always so vague on it. It's either Burton Cummings.
Oh, no. Because you were partying so hard back then, were you, Kelly? It's all a blur.
I was. It was either Burton Cummings or it was Prism. There was a Canadian group called Prism that
yes,
came to the Sydney Forum.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny. Well, and plus, when you grow up in Cape Breton, you're surrounded by music, right? So you knew your question there, because that's exactly what I wanted was your first concert. Kelly Edwards, this is so great. And I'm always so happy when I see the lineup come out for the Grafton Street Dinner Theater. So I know you're well into your first show. I appreciate you making the time today. But having been I like to say a former country music artist, your first show, I'm still one at heart, but your first show, Hoedown Showdown, is right up my alley. So tell me a little bit about this one.
This is for the country music fans, for sure, but you don't necessarily have to be. I was not a big country music fan.
Okay.
My dad was a big country music fan, which is probably why I wasn't, because, you know, you're not cool if you listen to your parents' music.
Right.
So, you know, George Jones, Waylon Jennings, Hank Williams, couldn't do it.
Right.
Now I have such a love for that. So I wrote this show with my dad in mind. And in fact, I dedicated it to him because he had passed away last year. But it's of old country versus new country.
Right.
And really what makes it country music, you know? So we've got this place called Boone Saloon, and the Boone family have been running this, you know, since the 70s. Uncle Earl has passed it on to Earl Jr., and Earl Jr.'s trying to keep it as classic as he can, but there's, you know, this fancy new country star coming through town to play there named Cash Ryder and his bossy manager, and they, you know, try to turn it over into a more modern country feel. So there's that little bit of a fight going on there, and there's some zany characters. But the lovely thing is that I've been finding every night it's just so astounding to me how everybody knows the songs, no matter what.
Right.
And no matter what age. Like, I've heard kids singing Garth Brooks. I've heard, older people singing Beyonce. Like, it's just really neat for that connection.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay, now I kind of buried the lead. The thing about the Grafton Street Dinner Theater is, and I mentioned it in the intro, is just the level of talent and engaging performances that are delivered every single night. Like, it's just extraordinary. Mm-hmm. And Kelly, talk to us a little bit about, because people may not know the Grafton Street Dinner Theater, but the level of talent and the casting, that's got to factor into these productions in some way. I know that there's a lot of people that will stay on from show to show. How did you cast this hoedown showdown now? Was it easy with the talent that you had there? Like, how does that work?
It's different every time. So yes, we do have people who, we've got sort of a rotating cast, and some people will, you know, take a show or two off and then come back. Then we'll fit some new people in. So with this show, we have four people who have returned. And if you've been to a show before, you will definitely recognize them. Then we have two newbies.
Okay.
And what's really lovely is seeing, I always think of it as a family. You know, we really do have this lovely connection.
Right.
So when I cast new people, I have to be mindful, not just are they the best for the role, but are they the best for the group as well?
Right.
You know, are they going to have that chemistry? And I'm happy to say that we've been very lucky in that. So to cast it, one of our priorities in casting it is that, you know, instrument, being able to play an instrument is
right.
a big deal. Now,
I mean, that's unreal. Like, I got to stop you because, again, you know, if you've been there, it's one thing to act, but then everybody's playing an instrument.
And they switch off.
Yeah, and it's unreal.
So impressive.
Oh my gosh. Unreal.
And I'll tell you a secret on that that people don't know, because we always get that comment like, oh my goodness, they all play everything. You know, one's on the drums 1 minute and then he's on the guitar the next.
Yeah.
But the secret to this is that not everybody plays those instruments. So someone might play one song on the drums, but they've never picked up a drumstick before the rehearsal starts.
Wow.
So they will learn one song.
And nail it.
Right. And I've got so much admiration for these folks. Like, they just, they put everything into it. And I always sort of say this, but I believe it. They are the hardest working performers I've worked
for
with.
Sure. Because not only are they on the stage, then they come off the stage and serve with a smile, and they're doing it all. It's unreal. But now listen, before we get into the service side of Hoedown Showdown, I got to ask you, because it's in the graphic, I feel compelled. It is not an easy instrument to play. Is the banjo part of the instrumental mix?
Sure is.
Oh my gosh. Now, did you cast a banjo player on purpose? Like, did you seek one out or what?
No. No, we actually...
My God.
Now, here's the thing that might sound a little bit cheaty, but there's a thing called a banjitar.
A what now?
So a banjitar is a cross between a guitar and a banjo, so that the recording is exactly the same as a guitar.
Oh.
Whereas a banjo would have less strings. So that's a little easier, but it's still
tricky.
You still have to get that sound. You still have to, it's a different feel for sure.
For sure.
So there was a learning curve, but they got it.
Oh, that's so good. And I'm learning a banjitar. Who knew, right?
I know.
We learn something new every day on CNBC and Heard. Okay. Now, Kelly Edwards, we're soon going to have to stop down for our first commercial break. I do want to talk about the service side, because as joyful and wonderful as the shows are, the food is delicious. Having taken probably one of the biggest food critics I've ever known in my life, the sidekick, I wasn't quite sure, because I'm pretty easy to please, but we loved it. And now it's just everything is timed. Like, again, you go to a show, and of course, you know, when you're the director of a show, everything is choreographed on stage. But there's also, like, you've got that other element, that other side of the food side of it that all has to be timed perfectly. Like, what kind of orchestration is required? Like, is there a lot of prayer? Like, what happens?
That's a bit of both, I guess. I have to be very mindful of time frames when I'm writing the shows, because each act has to be a certain length in order for the kitchen to get the stuff done. Sometimes if the crowd is a larger crowd, or they're getting, you know, need things more, the show will run longer, the meals will take longer. So we try not to have that happen. We're trying to be ready for every little thing. But again, I'm just going to give the credit to the crew. It just comes down to our kitchen crew, and our staff is just really just banging it out professionally every single night.
It's so good. And with the smile. I don't know what goes on behind the scenes, but boy, it seemed like such a well-oiled machine, Kelly Edwards. So congratulations to you and the team there. And the other side of all of it is that you work in some thematic, you know, show-related specialties into the menu.
We do. Particularly our drinks, we always have signature show drinks.
Love it.
So they will be named after the characters, a song name. We have, like, for instance, one of the drinks is called the Delta Dawn.
Oh, my gosh.
So every aspect of what you're coming into is taken up with detail of the show.
So great. I absolutely love it. Okay, listen, we've got to stop down for a commercial break. Now, I know in Hoedown Showdown, you've mentioned it's new country, it's old country. I don't know how many numbers are actually in the show itself.
4 musical numbers per act, and some of them are medleys.
Wow. Okay, that's amazing. Okay, Kelly Edwards, I would never put you on the spot with all those numbers in the show. So why don't we just toast to Hoedown Showdown and play the song behind the signature cocktail by Tanya Tucker herself. How about a little Delta Dawn as we head to break here on Cove FM?
Lovely.
All right, and we'll be right back with more CNB Seen and Heard.
Delta Dawn, what's that flower you have on? Could it be a faded rose from days gone by? And did I hear you say he was meeting you here today? To take you to his mansion in the sky. She's 41 and her daddy still calls her baby. All the folks around Brownsville say she's crazy, 'cause she walks downtown with a suitcase in her hand, looking for a mysterious dark-haired man. In her younger days, they called her Delta Dawn, the prettiest one you ever laid eyes on. Then a man of low degree stood by her side, promised her he'd take her for his bride. To his mansion in the sky. Delta Dawn, what's that flower you have on? Could it be a faded rose from days gone by? And did I hear you say he was meeting you here today to take you to his mansion in the sky?
Mr. Garth Brooks, the G-Man, as we used to call him in country radio, with Friends in Low Places here on Cove FM. I'm Stephanie Beaumont. I'm the host of CNB Seen and Heard. So happy to be on the phone now with the wonderful Kelly Edwards, the artistic director behind Halifax's Grafton Street Dinner Theatre's production of Hoedown Showdown. And Garth Brooks' song, well, that's just one of the many songs, Kelly, we'll hear in the current production that's on stage, hey?
Oh, yeah. And I will say that's one that everybody sings along to.
Well, I consider you my friend in high places because we actually do go upstairs to the Grafton Street Dinner Theater, and you're on a legendary corner right downtown. And I want to talk to you a little bit about, you know, Hoedown Showdown is on. It's been on since April 18th. It'll run now till July the 11th, which puts you right into tourist season. What's your blend of audience? It's locals and it is tourists too, right, Kelly?
It is, yeah. And we're just finishing up a bunch of school tours, which have been coming through, and they are from all over the country.
Oh, wow.
There's some kind of a band competition or conference that happens this time of year in Halifax, so we always get the kids, you know, that come in. And so we get all ages. We'll get the young ones and we'll get people who've been coming for years.
Oh, that's so good. Okay. And now we're going to get to the Christmas production in just a bit, because I know that's so much of tradition for folks coming back year after year. But I want to shift gears now to something I feel might be completely up your alley. And that's the production that will begin July 25th and run all the way through the 10th. That's Love Shack. Hey.
80s, baby.
That's us. Hey, I feel like Love Shack might, like, speak to us. Hey?
Oh, definitely. I think there's a whole lot of people out there that probably contributed to the ozone layer depletion with the hairspray.
Oh, my gosh.
I can't say I was not one of them.
Kelly Edwards, did you have big hair in the 80s?
I had huge hair.
Come on. That's so funny. I remember getting a perm, Kelly, and it was wrong, right?
Awesome. It was, yeah, they were so wrong. And I had a mullet perm.
No, you didn't. No.
I did. I have pictures to prove it. And it's the shame of my life.
And yet all the rage back then. So talk to me about Love Shack, because I have to imagine that this is, I mean, just based, I go on graphics a lot, but based on this one, it's going to be a lot of fun.
It is. Now, what happens when I have to program a season is I have to think of it as the year coming up. So I write a synopsis. I don't have the script yet. We have to write the script into that synopsis. So I make them as vague as I can. And I'm actually not writing or directing this Love Shack.
Okay.
Sarah Smith, who's been in the shows for several years, she's writing and directing it.
Okay.
So, but she's in the process of it, and we've been talking about, she's given me the song list. You're going to love every song.
I bet.
On the list.
Oh, my
gosh. I can't give it away, but you know that Love Shack is definitely in it.
Right, for sure. Well, that makes sense. The title song, as it were. Yeah. I immediately want to put on my roller skates, and I wouldn't imagine you'll have cast on roller skates, but it's something to think about, hey?
Oh, my gosh. That's something else to tempt fate.
Can you imagine? I don't think it'd be good glassware and skates, but...
I think many years ago, and I wasn't here then, but I have seen pictures and someone definitely had roller skates on. So I don't know what that entails,
but I
can't imagine it.
We spoke of the cast before the break, and we were talking about how you've got returning regulars and you've got new cast. But Kelly Edwards, if I'm out there listening and I know that you've got a production coming up, is that something that you post auditions for? Like, how does that work?
We do. We always give first preference to the cast that's in the show if they want to come back or not.
Sure.
And then we fill in.
Okay.
So, and sometimes, you know, previous cast members will reach out. Sometimes I don't have to cast it outside at all.
Right.
In the space where I know that there's going to be a gap in a show or two, then we'll hold general auditions.
Wow. Because
that happened with this one. So with the two new people that came in.
Oh.
That's how we got them.
I will suggest, now again, it's something I know just having been there, I couldn't do, I don't believe, mainly because I'm a spiller. And I'm not good with any instruments at all. But Kelly, I would recommend to anybody who's thinking, oh, I could do that, you should go, right?
You should
go and experience it and see the level of commitment and comedy. Oh my gosh, they're funny shows, Kelly.
Well, and a lot of it comes from, they make it up. You know, there's a lot of stuff that's improvised, for sure.
Like,
we have the script and then it's very fluid. So if people decide they want to add something or throw it in as the show goes on and they realize that it works.
Right.
It's always a work in progress. So the show you would see on opening night is going to be slightly different from the one you see on the end.
And there's a lot of crowd-related elements where you sort of get involved. And I would imagine that the cast is very seasoned in reacting to those kind of improvisational moments when they pop up,
yes,
hey?
Absolutely.
Yeah. When people, so I think the night we were there, somebody dropped something and it was quite funny, but always such a good time, always such a good spirit. And the energy in the room is electric, I find, which is fun.
Yeah.
Hey?
Yeah, it really is. Yeah. And we have people who come, and this is one of the things I love about this, is that we've got people who come, and sometimes maybe it's, you know, someone's dragging their husband or somebody has a work party they have to go to, and they don't necessarily want to be there because theater's not their thing. And then they get in and go, wow, I had a great time, yes. You know, because it's very universal.
Right.
We're not going to single out anybody who's going to be uncomfortable, you know.
Right.
They are really good at feeling the room and deciding that this person wants to play, so we're going to play with them.
Right.
This person's going to be shy. We'll leave them alone, you know. So I think we're very respectful of that.
Oh, my gosh. I'm just thinking now of the last one that the sidekick and I went to. There was a long table filled with people, and it was somebody's birthday, and the birthday girl was sick, but they all went anyway because they didn't want to miss the show. I was like, oh my God, that's so funny. Because they were like, and there's somebody here having a birthday. And they were like, they had to confess that they didn't bring the birthday girl. Oh my God, I laughed so hard. But you do get those big groups, right? Which is amazing.
Yeah. And that's kind of a good thing for so many. Like, we get bachelorettes, we get reunions, we have family birthdays, work parties. So it's a really good group activity.
Which,
it's also a really good date night.
Yes. It, like a first date night too, really, when you think about it.
Big time.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah, I love it. And it is paced very well because, like, you do have those breaks where you can just eat and talk to the person you're with. But then if the conversation lulls, the show's back on, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
Now, Kelly Edwards, it's an institution, the Grafton Street Dinner Theater. I sort of top line the history of it in the opening, but for years and years, this has been going on. And dinner theaters themselves are a real rarity these days.
Mm-hmm. Grafton Street it opened in 1987, so it's almost coming up on 40 years.
Wow.
A lot of people have gone over that stage. A lot of people have gone on to do some really great work. And it was one of the oldest, but it's also the only one in this region now. There may still be one in PEI that is seasonal. I'm not even sure if that's the case. I'd have to look it up. But as far as I know, this is it.
Wow. That says something.
It does. And it's a really unique experience to any kind of, you know, I've been to other dinner theaters in other cities and other provinces and other states.
Yes.
And they're not this interactive.
Right.
And it's a totally different experience. Sometimes it's just a show and dinner,
right.
But you're getting 3 solid hours of constant interactive entertainment with this one.
Which is great. And, you know, you talk about society and the way it is now and how fractured people are in terms of the places they can meet and commune and celebrate, you know, you know, being with people. My life is so virtual and I'm out here with the deer in the woods, but just being in a room and laughing and eating and having fun with people, it's good for your spirit.
It really is. And I mean, you know, we all know it. The world's a crazy place right now. So
yeah.
I feel that unfortunately the arts are always the first to get cut when you have any kind of recession, but it's also the thing we need the most. We need to laugh right now more than I've ever known in my lifetime.
Yeah.
And if you can come in and forget things for 3 hours and not be looking at your phone and not be, you know, just really interact.
Yeah.
I think it's a gift.
Without question. And a delicious one, too. I don't mind saying. Now,
feeding everything.
Right? It's easy for me to imagine all of the signature cocktails for Love Shack. I know Sarah's going to be writing this show, but, like, what have you got any thoughts on that?
We haven't even gotten that far yet. I mean, I think Love Shack itself is probably, or maybe Rock Lobster, you know, something.
Right.
There'll definitely be stuff from that era.
Okay, but you wouldn't mind if I start sending in cocktail names, right? Like, I'll DM you, right? Because that's like, just get me on that jag and I'll be sending them to you. You'll be like, please stop, block, you know, all those sorts of things. Okay, very good. Now, Kelly, I just want to talk to you about, because as a, you know, one creative to another, I'm certainly not writing shows, but I do know that you need to get inspired, right? When you sit down to write, when you are doing these shows and you're writing these scripts, is the cast typically 5 or 6?
And then it's 7 for the Christmas show just because it's a much busier time.
Okay. But that's not easy. Just, you know, having written scripts like that. Are you one of those people, like, what's your process? Do you come up with the title first? Do you come up with the genre? Like, what's your, do you go, okay, I've got 5 people. Where would they be? Like, how do you start? Where do you start?
I start with the title and the synopsis as to, you know, just as I said, just sort of generally what it's going to be, where it's set, that kind of thing. And then I create the song list, and then the song list goes from there, because the song list will tell you what characters are going to sing what.
Okay. But then there's the show, there's the story part of it. Like, that, it is a story. It's a lot of elements.
And you want to make characters as I try to make them kind of, the more zany, the more off the wall they are, the better for the audience.
Right.
You know, but what I do is I kind of write it in the middle, and then I just let the cast run with it.
Right.
So even when I have written a character that I think is sort of the straight person in the show, sometimes whoever gets that role will tweak it to be a little bit off the wall, and it's totally up to them. And if, you know, I say just run, and then I'll pull you back if it needs to come back.
Right.
And that's the way that we operate each thing. And I've had some characters that I would never have thought would be so off the top and so loved by the audience. Like, they just will gravitate to that bit, you know. And sometimes audiences love to be abused. So I find, strangely enough, the ones who are kind of the bad guys get the most love.
Right. And sometimes the straight man gets the biggest laugh.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's also because I have returning casts. Sometimes, just for my own enjoyment, I will say, I'm going to give them something they've never done before and see what happens.
Right.
You know, so someone who's maybe always been the straight person gets the crazy one, or
right.
someone who's always been, you know, the uptight one gets to let loose. And so it keeps it fresh for all of us.
Oh my gosh, it's so cool. Okay, now, before we hit to break, and I'm not a horror fan. I'm not a ghost story gal, but I do know from our last conversation that there's some lore around the building that there are possibly spirits that dwell.
Mm-hmm.
That's fair, right?
Yes.
Have you done a haunted show, and could I put in a request for one? Because I feel like the level of humor mixed in with some delicious food, I could maybe get through a ghost story. Hey!
Ha-ha! Yeah, we did one that had, actually Sarah wrote it last year, and it was based on, believe it or not, loosely, Scooby-Doo.
See, that's
a 70s show.
I remember that now, but do you consider that a ghost story?
No, but we tied the lore of the building in with it.
I'm talking about a real kind of like mystery with some like clue.
Yeah.
Right?
I have it myself. I think they have, probably other people have done it in the past. But those are always big favorites too. Murder mysteries?
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that's right. Okay. But again, I'm more of the comedy and definitely more of the music. So I'm really looking forward to Love Shack, which will run July 25th to October 10th. Now, as I say that, could you get tickets for this now, Kelly?
Absolutely.
Okay.
So we do, this is the thing I think people don't realize, is that you don't pay for tickets up front. You make a reservation. So we'll do a show any night we have a certain amount of reservations.
Okay.
And, you know, if we don't get those reservations, we would cancel the show.
Okay.
So weeknights are, you know, different every week.
Right.
But you don't pay for the tickets, because people will say, well, how do I pay for my tickets? We don't have them.
Oh.
You show up, we call you in, you see the show, then you get a bill.
But having said that, I could make a reservation if I was going to be in the city, or if I have family coming or whatever, I could make a reservation right now for September the 14th.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. Very good. Not looking at a calendar. Don't know what day that is. Okay. Well, that's kind of great. Okay. So you can definitely make plans around going there. Now, I guess we should play the B-52s. Should we?
Yeah.
I mean, it only stands to reason. This reminds me of my brother and sister-in-law, who are huge fans. So if you don't mind, I'll send this song out to them, and that'll save me on an anniversary present.
Nice.
Okay, very good. We're with the artistic director of the Grafton Street Dinner Theater. She's Kelly Edwards. We'll be back to wrap up the show, but right now, from their forthcoming production, Love Shack, the title track, as it were, this is the B-52s with Love Shack on Cove FM.
If you see a faded sign at the side of the road that says 15 miles to the
Love Shack, yeah. I'm heading down the Atlanta Highway, looking for the love getaway, headed for the love getaway.
I got me a car, it's as big as a whale, and we're heading on down.
turn to me. Oh, my dear, I'm so lonely. Hurry back, oh, my love, hurry back. I am yours. Return to me. For my heart wants you only. Hurry home, won't you please hurry home to my heart. My darling, if I hurt you, I'm sorry. Forgive me, and please say you are mine. Return to me. Please come back, Bella Mia. Hurry back, hurry home to my arms, to my lips and my heart. Cara mia, ti amo. Solo tu, solo tu, solo tu, mio
to See and Be Seen and Heard here on Cove FM. That's my favorite guy, Dean Martin, with my favorite Dean song, Return to Me, here on Cove FM. Oh, I love it. Anytime crooner music can play, I'm happy. And when it can be paired with Christmas, I am over the moon. I am on the phone now with Kelly Edwards, a great friend and the artistic director. I feel like that's kind of cool of me to drop that name that you're my pal. But hey, but Kelly Edwards is the artistic director at the Grafton Street Dinner Theater, the legendary place to enjoy and celebrate with your fellow theater lovers and foodies in the city of Halifax. We play Dean Martin, not just because I love him, but also because Kelly Edwards, your Christmas production this year is called Crooner Christmas.
Just right up your alley.
Oh,
too.
My God, I love it. It's literally everything I love. Hey! Okay, now, you confessed before the break that you're creating in advance to put your calendar together. So when it came to this show, are you a fan of all that kind of music, Kelly?
Oh, that's probably why. I'm a jazz head and crooners.
Yeah.
I love it. We did a show a couple of years ago that was a 20s style, but we used modern music in that. And I took the inspiration from Postmodern Jukebox. Postmodern Jukebox does modern songs in different eras, different styles. So you might have a Beyonce song done in a 60s
okay.
doo-wop sound.
Yes. Gotcha.
So they do some beautiful job of crooner songs.
Wow.
These people are amazing vocalists, so I would definitely recommend them. But yes, crooners, I love.
Oh my gosh, and Christmas. Now, when it comes to Christmas at Grafton Street Dinner Theater, I know that there are people who will come to a show no matter what time of year it is, but there are certain people who literally, they book well in advance for this series. It starts November the 14th and actually runs right into the new year because of people wanting to see the show and it being tradition, right, Kelly?
Absolutely. We've got families who make that their tradition every year. We've got office parties who've been coming, businesses for this, you know, for years. And we talked before about, you know, is it too early to book? It is never too early to book for Christmas because we have people who will be in the show this year at Christmas who will book for next year.
Oh my gosh.
That night. There's literally a family that come. There's about 30 of them. And we'll get an email while they're sitting at the table.
Oh, come on. I love it.
And say, can we have this date? You know, so, and especially for like weekends, a lot of people, Saturdays, we've got some Saturdays that have already sold out.
Oh my gosh, I love it. Okay, now I'm just reading the synopsis here, and it says the tinsel tones with the smoothest voices of the season. They're a crooning trio with retro charm, but behind the velvet harmonies, there's a grudge. I love it. There's always conflict, but it's always
the
funniest kind of it. Now, I can only imagine. I'm picturing like Mary Tyler Moore set, like, you know, with the sweaters and, you know, the big dresses. I can't wait. What about the costumes, Kelly? How does that element of the show come together?
We do a little, I love to call them little, you know, bonding road trips. Take the whole cast and we pile into the vehicles and we head to the charity shops. So we'll go to the Mission March and the Values Village and
right.
See what's there. We, you know, we do have some costumes on hand, but we don't have a great deal of space to store them.
Right.
So it's always a fun little outing. And I like people to, I mean, I get final say as the director.
Yes.
But I like people to choose theirs according to their character.
Right.
And I want them to be comfortable.
Right.
So if somebody comes in with something and says, I really like this for this character, you know, I'll say yes. Or a few times I'll say, well, remember, it gets really warm. That's a whole sweater.
Yeah, exactly. Oh my gosh. That's so great. Okay. And I mean, I'm Christmas crazy. So there's that. Now talk to me about how, you know, we heard Dean in the classics there, but you've got, I guess I'm thinking like Christmas songs in the crooner style. That would be fair, right?
Yes, absolutely.
So tell me a little bit about the music mix and how do you narrow it down for a show, Kelly? Are you going to write this one?
I am going to write this one. And the music is the hardest pick because, you know, you can only pick so many.
Right.
And there's hundreds and hundreds you want, you know, but we try to do stuff that people will know.
Right.
Just to make sure that, you know, I love when people sing along.
Yes.
It's kind of one of my favorite things.
Me
and
too.
So I really want to make it accessible for that.
Oh, it's such a fun thing because you do, I mean, you talked a little bit about some people who go in kind of hesitant, maybe a little shy. And by the end of it, like the room is united in song and camaraderie. Like it's super great.
Yeah, that's one of the things I love too. It's such a great bringing together of community. I don't think we have that enough anymore.
That's a fact. Now, Kelly, I know you've always got a million things on the go, but before we wrap things up, because I do have one more game I want to play with you. Because, you know, you're my pal. But Kelly, and it's a new one. Kelly, I want to talk to you a little bit about whenyoudie.org, because that's a project you've got, one of the many balls in the air that you've got on the go. Tell me a little bit about how that has grown since we last talked.
When You Die project is international.
Yeah.
I'm so proud of this project, and it's local filmmakers that do films, documentary films about end of life. And it sounds morbid and depressing, and I have to tell you, it's everything but. Because
right.
The whole message of this is that we do not prepare ourselves. We do not prepare for what it looks like, for what has to take place, the plans you have to make. And it can create a lot of grief, and knowing that you know about death and you talk about it openly will help with the grieving process for sure. So I'm pretty proud of this project, and we have three films out. You can find them and stream them through the website whenyoudie.org. And I think it's something that we need to really get out there into the world.
For sure. It's universal. I mean, everybody goes through it. But the fact that you're making it both accessible and relatable, I think has helped so many people. So congratulations on that effort for sure.
Thank you.
Yeah, for sure. And I'll make sure I have the live link in the show notes and all that stuff. All right. Now, Kelly Edwards, before we run out of time, our final game. And you're the very first person. Again, it's called One Last Thing, which should hopefully help you. Okay. Number one, Kelly Edwards, the last time you went to the movies.
Oh, my goodness. The last time I went to a movie, and I will say this, I love going by myself.
Yeah, same.
My favorite thing.
Yeah, same.
I know. People think it's weird, but I love it. And the last thing I saw was the Bob Marley pick, One Love.
And did you like it?
I did. Oh. I expected I would be more critical of it because I'm such a Bob Marley fan.
Yes.
As like Bob Marley the person.
Yeah.
But I thought they did a great job, and it made me smile.
There you go. All right, very good. Kelly Edwards, one last thing. The last place you went on vacation.
That would be Wales.
Okay. You haven't had a holiday since then.
Well, one of the reasons why Sarah is going to direct the next show is so that I can, for the first time, take a vacation in the summer, because, you know, I'm an avid swimmer.
Yes.
And I never get to go to the beach just without having a work, you know, to get back to. So I'm going to take some time in the summer and take a vacation.
Oh, that's so nice. Yes, Kelly Edwards is my mermaid. She's always in the water, which I love. I live vicariously through your beach pics. And I see how excited you are when that, even just the hint of warmer weather comes around, hey?
Oh, I'm losing my mind right now. This is the hardest time because it's so close, but it's so far.
Right. Oh my gosh. Okay. Kelly Edwards, the last thing you ordered off a room service menu.
Ooh, honestly, I don't even know if I could. Oh, yes, I do. I ordered a cheese plate.
There you go.
I ordered a cheese plate in Wales, and I'm also going to say that the Welsh make the best cheese.
Is that true?
Cheddar cheese. It's great.
Oh, my gosh. That's so funny. Gosh, we're learning so much. Okay, two more questions. One last thing. The last book you read that you couldn't put down.
Well,
do you get time to read? You probably don't.
I do on the beach, so
okay.
There's always something in the summer that I will read. The last book I read that I couldn't put down, I feel like that's almost every book.
Oh, is that true?
Literally, the last book I read, I have read multiple times because I love it so much, and it's called Immortality by Milan Kundera.
Is it nonfiction?
No, it's fiction.
Ooh.
But it's just gave me a whole different perspective of looking at life.
Wow.
So, and it's all marked up because I keep underlying, you know, things going, oh, this is so great. I love this quote, you know, so
wow.
I would say that that's probably the one.
All right. Very good. And this is our very last question. Where's the last place we'd ever find you if we were looking?
In a crowd.
Okay. It's too people-y.
Everything is too
peoply. Says the city dweller. Oh my gosh. That's surrounded by people every night having the best time at the Grafton Street Dinner Theater. Right? Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Well, we're glad that you're giving it up for the arts, Kelly Edwards.
That's the only thing.
There you go. All right. Well, we wish you the best with this incredible season that you've got on the go. I'll put all the links in the show notes and see you soon at the theater.
Thank you. I hope to see everybody else there as well.
Always such a delight chatting with that lady. Be sure to look her up when you get to the Grafton Street Dinner Theater, and by all means, tell her we sent ya. For the full scoop on the full slate of this season's productions, plus reservations, menus, and more, visit graftonstreetdinnertheater.com. And while you're online, be sure to visit Kelly's other big endeavor, whenyoudie.org. A beautiful resource and now international community, complete with films and stories and so much more, all designed to ensure a happier end to a fuller life. You can find the podcast version of this show, along with all of our other See and Be Seen and Heard episodes, available to stream and download now on iTunes via Apple Podcasts. And for all the show notes and links to this broadcast, you can head to my Omni site at stephaniebeaumont.com. There you'll discover our entire catalog of episodes for this show, along with all of our soundtrack episodes, too. Thanks to Jason McDonald for our See and Be Seen and Heard theme music. Thanks to Kelly Edwards for being my guest. And thanks to you for joining us today. Sure hope you will again next time here on Cove FM. I'm your host, Stephanie Beaumont. Be well till then.
This is 80.